Our King is going to come back. You know, the one thing I kept thinking this week, and, you know, there's a lot of books out there in this world, and there's a lot of religions that have been around a long time, but there's something that just holds before us all a book like this one, who's got it down to the minute details of reality. Not just all the history of the past, but exactly how it's going to be at the end. From the beginning to the end, God has clearly, thank you, stated and made sure His Word is true, and He's made it so minutely with signs and clear descriptive words so that no one will be confused. The wicked can see the truth when it comes. They'll say, "Now we knew, we wish we would have listened before. Now we hear, why didn't we listen? It'll be too late." But they'll know, because God's Word is so clear and so precise in its teaching. It's exciting. We know the signs of God in His Word. And so I think it's great to have a book like this that we can get together with every week, all the time, together and at homes, and read this stuff, and you see it coming to pass and building to the final days. You tell me, what God other than our God dare to even try that, because they get stamped as liars. Tell me what other truth in religious books. You can go to the Hindu religion, you won't find it. You can go to these other books and you'll find a bunch of baloney, and it won't base it on facts and it can't prove it. But our book proves it and stands by it. And you don't have to blindly believe what I tell you when you come to a place like this on Sunday. You go home, you read it in here, and you go look in the newspaper, you go check it out in history, and you'll know that I'm not feeding you a line. But those other guys can't say that. You've got the hold of God for you. Rest on it and have faith and believe in the living God. Let's read this word together. I'm going to start in verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, nor not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's pray. Father, we ask You now to take Your Word and burl it into our souls. Take our minds and open them to understand Your Word. Take them and impress them upon our spirits to bring refreshing good news to saints, to bring conviction to those who do not believe, and to bring hope to all men to see that You're the living God. And we pray that salvation would truly be experienced to those who do not know You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before I do that, I'm going to take a drink. Everybody want a drink? You don't want it because I drank out of it now. And my germs are on it. And so then you won't like it. I want you to notice back at the beginning scriptures we've read, verse 29, that what we're going to discuss is the day of the Lord. And I want you to show you signs given in the Scripture so you'll recognize this great day of the Lord. The First of all, notice it describes, says that the sun will not be giving light. It could be used in different ways. The sun will be darkened. It'll be some way where the light will stop shining. There's going to be a cosmic disturbance of all time of our world when suddenly darkness will happen. It says also the moon will be dimmed. It also says that stars will fall from heaven and the very powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, there's not just a couple scriptures on this. There's many. I want to take you on a whirlwind tour to show you how God continues to illustrate this truth. If you would look into the last book of the Old Testament called Malachi, I want you to see where God gives a description of the very thing again. Chapter 4 of Malachi, it says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise, with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. With the statutes and judgments, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." The day of the Lord is described as a day of great judgment and destruction, and it's a day that's not going to be marked out as some small, simple thing, but a horrible day. If you go back further in Scripture, I need to give you a number of Scriptures here. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 32, Ezekiel chapter 32, and it came to pass, as he shares that God spoke to him. But in chapter 32, verse 7. Let's go to 7. "When I put out your light, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud. The moon shall not give her light. And the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you, and bring darkness upon your land, says the Lord. I will also trouble the hearts of many peoples when I bring your destruction among the nations, into the countries which you have not known. Yes, I will make many peoples astonished at you, and their kings shall be horribly afraid of you when I brandish my sword before them." As you see the description again, sun, moon, stars. Again, scriptural teaching of that area. Look at also Joel chapter 2, very well-known prophet. The prophets, so many of them, will share these scriptural descriptions of the last final day of the Lord. "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been. Nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like swift steeds so they run, with a noise like chariots. Over mountaintops they leap, like the noise of a flaming fire, like that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array." Verse 10. "The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" Again, the description. Chapter 3. "For behold, in those days, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my people, having given a boy as payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine. Indeed, what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon? And he lists some areas. Down in verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place to which you have sold them, and I will return your retaliation upon your own head. I will sell your sons and daughters into the hand of the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, to a people afar off. Verse 9, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble and come, all you nations, and gather together all around. Cause your mighty ones to go down there, O Lord. Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will set to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake, but the Lord will be shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Here again and again and again, the description of cosmic disturbance, of dark gloominess, of the day of the Lord, of a day of judgment. And this is the description back in Matthew 24 that Jesus is speaking to. He's saying, first of all, if you go back in chapter 24, verse 15, he talks about, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. And we talked about this last week. We know from the book of Daniel, that's the midpoint of the last seven years of the vision of Daniel. At that midpoint, Antichrist will rise up. And I want to remind you of some of the things about that. First of all, there's parallel things that happened in history. Back under Antiochus Epiphanes, he defiled the temple of God. He took and destroyed the things of God. And that was about 170 B.C. In 70 A.D., a very similar thing happened with Titus, the great general of Rome. As they entered into Jerusalem and destroyed the temple, they besieged the city and starved out Jerusalem, and it was one of the greatest slaughters of their history. Jerusalem was packed with people that hid in there to hide from Titus. When it was all over, 1 million Jews died. There was only a remnant of 90,000 people that lived, that were taken away. And they starved, and they died by the army, and they also were crucified all along the roads, like telephone poles, as Rome massacred Israel. It was one of the greatest slaughters they ever had. But Jesus comes to this place and says in these words, but listen, I'm telling you about another time coming. At the end of time, in the middle of this last period, in the middle of the 7 weeks of Daniel, and I'm telling you that there's going to be such a day that you will not ever be able to compare it to anything else in history. Well, Israel can compare that today. They remembered when Titus did that. It's been well remembered. And that was a slaughter of unprecedented destruction. And this is going to be far worse. It says, Jesus says in verse 16 that when you hear about this and see this in the temple, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So what the Jews had happen in 70 AD is nothing compared to the destruction of this time. Can you think of that? A million were slaughtered, and that's not even compared to this. The day of the closing times of the history of the world are not going to be a picnic. They're not going to be fun, it's going to be destruction. And this great political leader is going to come on the scene of a great persecution. He's going to destroy and attack Israel. He's going to destroy and try to destroy the people. Go to Revelation. There's so much stuff here. I know I don't have time to actually give you any honest study of this in one day. But I want to throw enough scripture at you to get you so you'll do it yourself. because really, unless you start reading these things and get somewhere with it, you'll never understand what's going on here. Chapter 6 of Revelation, I want you to look there first. Chapter 6 of Revelation, it begins opening up the seals, and the first couple verses, 3 to 4, goes the second seal, 5 and 6 are the third seal, verse 7 is then the fourth seal, and look at verse 9. It's the fifth seal and the cry of the martyrs. When he opened up the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. Now, that's an interesting statement. Think about that from God. He says, "Hold on, guys, you're martyrs, but I got more coming. So hold on till we fill this up to where I want it." Now, how many of you Christians have considered wanting it filled up in the list of God's martyrs? It's just not a natural thing that we consider. But he says, "Hold on, I've got this work to do, and this is going to happen, and I want you to hold on in patience. I'm going to have this happen." And then it goes on to say in verse 12, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake." And here we go again, the same thing we talked about in Matthew 24. "The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind." The same sign that we talked about back here in Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation, immediately after this midpoint, somewhere this is talking about the midpoint of this time, matching the time back in Matthew 24, talking about the day of the Lord. And it says that the sky, in verse 14, "Then the sky receded as a scroll when it was rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place, and the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for that great day of his wrath has come, and who's able to stand?'" So what am I telling you today? I'm not giving you an exciting, warm, fuzzy, good message, am I? I'm giving you a horrible lesson and message that when the King Jesus comes back, he will bring with it horrendous judgment. Horrendous judgment. The wicked of this world, all the big-time politicians and all the leaders who hate God and think they can do things their own way and who want to rule the world and all the things that resist God, he will bring to a close. And it's going to be signaled by these cosmic disturbances first, it says. And if you go back to Matthew 24, you can hold your finger in Revelation if you haven't left it yet. But it says in verse 20, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened." So from the time of the midpoint, the Antichrist will begin slaughtering people. And then God is going to stop him by breaking through with cosmic disturbances. He's going to come and he's going to stop all this wickedness and destroy the evil men of this world. And he's going to stop them in this way. And it says that the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn because they'll see the Son of Man coming with the clouds or on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Let me give you some scriptural verses. You might want to write them down, and I'm just going to kind of fly through some of these. So first of all, the day of the Lord is described as a horrible day. Isaiah 13:6, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he will destroy its sinners from it." The day of the Lord is a day of destruction upon the sinners. Verse 10 of this chapter says, "For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine." Do you see what we're saying here? Again, God puts a sign up. I told you that when we first started this series. God puts up clear signs. He says, "This is a sign, this is a sign, this is a sign." When you see that sign, stars falling from the sky, the moon getting darkened, the sun not giving its light, when all this is the sign. Know that the day of the Lord is coming. This is the breakthrough of the day of the Lord. And that is not going to be a fun day, but a day of judgment. Also, I gave you Ezekiel 32. I also gave you Joel chapter 2. Let me give you some more scripture. Mark 13:24. "But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The Lord..." And then I put a note in here. Luke 21:25. "And there will be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring." Acts 2:20, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that he who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. But concerning the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." I want to stop there for a second, because I was raised with the concept of the word thief in the night as talking about the rapture. I want you to hear those words again. "For when they are concerning the times of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." In 2 Peter 3:10, it says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned. Remember," this is according to Revelation 3:3, "therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I have come upon you." Revelation 6:12 says, "I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood." Revelation 16:15 says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see him, and they see his shame. Now, all that's to say a couple things. I was raised under the concept of thief in the night, being that out of somewhere, suddenly there's going to be a snatching away of the believers, and they'll vanish from everybody's sight by a thief in the night, meaning that you get snatched. But the word thief is not used in this term. It's always talked about the day of the word of thief has got to do with like a robber. When you're walking down the road and you're going past a dark alley and a thief comes out and clubs you on the head, he's coming to you like a thief in the night and bonked you on the head. Not snatched something out of your purse, but bonked you. That's the concept of a thief according to the day of the Lord we're talking about here. That the people of this day are going to be not aware that Jesus actually can come back. We're in a modern day of technology. We don't believe this religious stuff anymore. We got our own destiny to take care of. We're battling and working and conquering with the nations against nations, and we're doing things, and they're not going to expect all this religious weirdo stuff that they hear from a bunch of fundamental dumb Christians. And yet in the midst of all the world around them, Jesus is going to break through the sky. The world is going to shake. The sky is going to rip open. And out of everything they never believed in, they're going to see Jesus coming in judgment. Now that's going to be an awesome day, because they didn't buy into this stuff. We're a bunch of weirdos. I don't buy into this stuff. And before their face, judgment day will be upon them. And this is the description we have here. This is a day of great darkness and destruction. Let's go over it again. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. After the midpoint, great tribulation. And then the sky rips open and the day of the Lord begins, according to this. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So first of all, we've got the signs of the stars, the sun, the moon, massive earthquakes, and the destruction of sinners. And I need to ask you a question. When is the day of the Lord? Matthew 24:15. First says, abomination, desolation. That's the middle point of the 7 years of Daniel. Next thing it says, then great tribulation, then the signs in the heaven, then the day of the Lord. So we see it's after the middle of the tribulation, the day of the Lord's coming. Okay? That's what it says according to his then this, then this, then this. Now, let's see signs of the Lord's return. I want to run you through some scripture again. And I want you to see some of these scriptures. First of all, it says that Jesus will be coming on the clouds. Did you see this back in verse 30? Of chapter 24. I'm sorry. It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Remember again, every time God gives you specific sign words, you can chase these through Scripture to see where they're following through. The signs that He gives are a way you can see what He's going to do. When the disciples in Acts saw Jesus go away, they said, and they kept looking up in the air. He was gone, and they still kept looking. The angel said, what do you keep looking up for? He's gone. He, just as you saw Him go in the clouds of heaven, He's going to come back. When they're worrying about when He's coming back, it says, verse 27, just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes from the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. We're talking about a breaking up of the sky. It'll be well known and well seen. And it says you're going to be seen on the clouds of heaven, whatever the clouds of heaven. I don't mean it's just clouds of the sky or if there's something else. But He's going to come visibly, seen with the eye, when He returns. Just like when He left. That's how He's coming back. You will see Him. The other thing it talks about is the trumpet, verse 31. You will see, He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You've got trumpet sounds, you've got angels gathering, you've got this sky opening up, you've got visual reality of Jesus on the clouds. Now, I want to share a old ancient writing to you. Now this is where, I'm only going to do it for a minute. This is where I'm not a pre-tribulation rapturist, I told you that. But here I just want to throw a couple things at you. And remember what I told you before, I'm not trying to convince you to believe my way, I don't care what you believe. As long as you believe Jesus is coming back, we're cool. But I wanted to throw this at you. And this is an old ancient writing called the Didache. It's an early church manual. It was written somewhere between 90 and 120. This was at the end of the time. The disciples, some were still alive, like the Apostle John. And it was a pass-around training manual. In other words, we do this. We have, just this week, we had training for children's ministry, okay? In that training ministry, I didn't even claim that the stuff I taught you was Scripture. I didn't say that. It was just training using biblical principles for you to follow Scripture. And this church manual is not Scripture. So it can be wrong. Okay? But I wanted you to see how many of the churches and Christians believe. There's a little portion that I quoted out of this thing called the Teaching of the 12 Apostles, a church manual for churches. In it, one thing that's got nothing to do with the subject is where I learned that back in the first century, they were dealing with abortion. In that book, it states clearly that those who practice abortion, it's sin and murder. So way back in the first century, the church has dealt with the wickedness of mankind from the very beginning of the birth of the church. But listen to these words and see what you think. Be watchful for your life. Let your lamps not be quenched and your loins not ungirded, but be But be ye ready. At least King James wording is not the way I speak. For ye know not the hour in which our Lord comes. And ye shall gather yourselves together frequently, seeking what is fitting for your souls. For the whole time of your faith shall not profit you, if ye be not perfected at the last season. For in the last days the false prophets and corruptors shall be multiplied, and the sheep shall be turned into wolves, and love shall be turned into hate. For as lawlessness increases, they shall hate one another, and shall persecute and betray. And then the world deceiver shall appear as a son of God. Here's the Antichrist. And he shall do unholy things, which have never been since the world began. Then all created mankind shall come to the fire of testing, and many shall be offended and perish. But they that endure in their faith shall be saved by the curse himself. And that's speaking about Jesus, who became our curse and died on the cross. And then shall the signs of the truth appear. First, a sign of the rift in heaven, then a sign of a voice of a trumpet, and thirdly, a resurrection of the dead. Not of all, but as it was said, the Lord shall come and all his saints with him. Then shall the world see the Lord coming upon the clouds of heaven. Do you hear what they're saying? It's a little different than what I was raised under, but they're saying these things happen first, then the voice of the resurrection only of the saints, and then they come in judgment. Even in this early document, it's a little different than what I was raised under. So all I want to do is challenge you to consider the Scripture. And like I said, we're going to go when Jesus comes. All of us will, whether we believe it or not, if we're saints. So you can go the load he takes you, whether you like it or not, because I'm going to go when he takes me, because he's the Lord. But consider the truth, because it might affect how you act in this day. In other words, if you come under the false doctrines of saying the faith movement that says God always blesses you, you always should be rich, you always should be healthy, you always should have everything wonderful in your life, and then life doesn't go that way, you lose your faith, many of you. So all I want to do is challenge you to consider both ways so you can become panmillennialist. That if Jesus chooses to do things different than you think, you'll still serve him whether you go under persecution or whether you have it easy and wonderful all your life. I want you to be able to love God in spite of what I think and you think. I want you to be able to trust him when things aren't going well. And I want you to trust him when things are going well. I want you to know that he loves you. And it's not because he doesn't love you that he allows things to happen in your life. He's warned us ahead of time that in the last days, times are going to be dark and deafening. That he's going to bring judgment. He's going to allow famines to come. He's going to allow all kinds of testings upon this earth. Are you going to lose your faith if you don't go before all these things happen? Are you going to lose your faith if God allows you to go trials in your personal life and you say, God must not love me because he didn't keep me out of these things? God tells you he will take care of you through anything. Do you remember Daniel? Do you remember Daniel? Daniel had to face lions. He didn't say, can't be of God, while he looked a lion in the face. He sat in the lion's den with the lions with their nasty old breath breathing down his neck. And while he looked at him in the faith he had in the face, and while he stood there, their mouths were shut. And he didn't go out of the thing, he went through it. And God was with him. God was with him. And so I want you to prove your faith. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he's going to come back. So the good news is, he's going to save us from his wrath, and we'll never be under his wrath. The bad news is, the sinners are going to be destroyed. And boy, are they going to be destroyed. I don't know if you've ever read some of the descriptions of how they're going to be destroyed. Let me give you just a few of those verses to close, just to leave it on a real downer for today, so you see how horrid and how righteous God is, and that it's not a conflict. But I do want to at least bring a few verses before you. In Isaiah chapter 63, these words are given. Who is this who comes from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra? This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling the greatness of his strength, I who speak in righteousness, mighty to save, is the answer. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress. I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments, and I have stained all my robes. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. I looked, but there was no one to help, and I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. I have trodden down the people in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. You, do you hear those words? And do you think they match anything in Revelation? In Revelation chapter 14, it says in verse 17, "Then another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who has power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. And the blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs." Let me really make you sick. This is saying, and I'll have to quit with more scripture. There's so much here. But Jesus, in the day of judgment, when he comes back, he's going to come and he's going to land on the Mount of Olives, the prophecy says. And when he hits that ground, it says that that great mountain is going to split in half. And it's going to cause a huge earthquake to cause a great valley. That valley, I think, is what's known as the Valley of Jehoshaphat, because there is no other valley right now. And if I'm wrong, okay, I'm sorry. But I'm just guessing. And it says that Jesus says in parts of, I think, Zechariah and other prophecies, that they'll flee from him. And they'll run in that valley that's going outside the city, it says. And as they run down that valley, he's going to chase and trample them and destroy them in great judgment. And as he does that, the blood will be so horrendous that it'll be up to the height of a horse's bridle. And it's going to go for 200 miles. This is one of the most destructive battles of the end times you've ever heard of, as he destroys millions and millions of sinners that hate God and stand against him. And as that goes, that valley goes down to the Red Sea. The Red Sea. And that's the ending of all the wicked and the rebellion against God. And after that point is when he establishes his millennial kingdom, when he finishes the destruction of the wicked. Now listen to me. Jesus, redeem me. And I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm going to be behind him, man. As he does his work, he says alone, I'm going to be with him. But he's going to do such destruction. See, now we don't think this of Jesus. It's hard for you to face this, isn't it? We think of Jesus as meek and lowly. We think of him as, oh, let things go on. Oh, we won't deal with this. We think of him as the lowly servant who just kind of lets sin go by. Listen, our Lord Jesus is not like that. I have to give you the whole picture of him. His character is that of justice and righteousness. And judgment will come. And all the wicked, no matter what they say with their mouths, but what they do with their lives, will be judged by this great and holy God. And he will finish the day. And at this final day, when he's destroyed the wicked, then he'll establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And then we'll reign with him. Are you ready to reign? It's going to be a whole different world. It's going to be massive upheavals and changes and judgment and war and death and destruction. But he's going to stop it all and finish it. All the world kingdoms that want to keep killing each other, he'll stop them and destroy them. And that'll be done. And then peace will reign. Is that your Jesus? Is this the Jesus that you thought of? This is the same Jesus. It's the same one. It's in the same book. Bringing it all together at the end. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know him? Do you believe he's the right one? He's the same one that died on the cross to save you from the wrath to come. He's the same one that took your sins on the cross and died for you. Will you accept Him? Will you deal with Him today? Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. I know that I couldn't, in just these few minutes, even give half of what Your Word deserves. My only prayer is that You will stir up the hearts of men to read Your book, to study, to show themselves approved unto You. That workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. I pray that You'll take them on a hook of their hearts, that You'll pull them into studying and know. For You've given great blessing to those who will read the book of Revelation and understand it. You've told us not to ignore Your word. You want us to know Your coming. You want us to know Your truth. Please, Lord, even though this is not an exciting sermon, but instead is a fearful one for those who are wicked, we, the saints, know that You have not reserved us for Your wrath, but instead You will bring us out before that and give us Your presence in life, and we'll be with You forever. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You for this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus